Welcome to the Visionary Chronicles, a business strategy podcast where we provide insight to those looking for creative, executable strategies built around the latest disruptive ideas, innovative cultures, product creators, and marketing solutions. Welcome to the Visionary Chronicles. This week, we're going to talk about ideas. A lot of what I've been hearing lately is, you know, how do we become more creative as a brand and as or a company? And it's really one of those intuitive things everybody would like to be, but very few leaders know how to implement it properly. And implementing it is one thing, but having the team that can actually execute it is a completely different thing. So today on this podcast, I'd like to talk about what I say, generating ideas. You know, how do we do this? How do we generate ideas? How do we have a process in place that allows for the freedom of creativity, but also commercializes product? You know, that's always the balance, right? I say one of the most frustrating jobs I think there is being a concept car designer and knowing that the product you're putting on the board will probably never come to life. And that's very frustrating for designers, those that are creative and those that have this mindset, that eventually it gets worn down to say, well, why put all this effort into a creative idea when nobody's going to back me on it? So when we talk about this, how to maximize creativity flow, I think it's an important aspect of what we'll talk about today as well. And one thing I looked at was, it's interesting, in 2018, LinkedIn did a survey, and they said creativity was the number one sought after soft skill set. You know, most people think, well, engineering, marketing, sales, these soft skill sets, functional skill sets, but this creativity piece, these designers, these creators are very hard to come by. And there's a lot of what I call imitators, but then the ones you're looking for are the creators, those that think of new ideas, those that can adapt ideas that are currently out there and make them better for society. And you see that all the time. And that's really what the goal is. And that's exactly what LinkedIn was looking at here, was this creativity skill set. It's not a designer that's imitating others. It's somebody who's innovating in the marketplace. And I thought a quote from John Cage was very appropriate. He said, "I can't understand why people are frightened of new ideas. Personally, I'm frightened of the old ones." And that's kind of how I look at it as well, is when you look at these visionary leaders of companies, and that's where this creativity of generating great ideas starts from, is that these leaders who embrace failure, those that embrace risk, these are all cornerstones of great leaders of visionary brands and companies. So creativity is really the what I call a cornerstone for an innovative thinker, and what I call a progressive brand. Those brands that embrace that risk and embrace failure are progressive brands, ones that are looking to make a different difference either in their product category or disrupting another industry. So both of those should be looked at when you look at creativity. If you've got a product that you feel can crush a competitor in an ulterior market, alternative, direct competitors, whatever it may be, those are all targets for opportunities on creativity with ideas and where you're looking to take your product portfolio. So again, I say creativity is a cornerstone for an innovative thinker and a progressive brand. Both of those are important, and why I put both of those in there. So the ability to consistently think of great ideas, understand the impact of those ideas at a brand level, and ensuring they're commercialized is a trait few possess and are willing to explore. And when I look at and work out with companies with Liquid Mind, as well as myself being with global, what I call iconic brands, we all had a process. And if we didn't have a process in the brands we work with, we put one in place. Because an important aspect of what we see with brands that may have this creative mindset, these poets, these authors, these people that come out of this creative mindset, the kind of cognitive thinkers, we call them, you need to make sure that you're executing the idea. The idea is only as good as your ability to commercialize it. So you want to make sure, although great creative ideas come out of your team, you want to make sure that they're adaptable to the market you're selling into. So the challenge always is, from the product perspective, is working with that design team to bring that vision to reality. So that's many times where I see brands falling flat with Liquid Mind, is that, hey, how do we translate this great idea into the marketplace successfully and be able to either disrupt at the outset, or at the very least, innovate and build a progressive update from what's currently in the marketplace and or within your product portfolio, so you can move that along your supply and demand chain. And so when we look at this exploration aspect to generating ideas, maximizing this creativity flow, it's a crucial piece of creativity. What I call having the guts to do what others say is impossible and pursue a dream, a vision, a future, and bringing that to reality for others to see. So you're either in this camp of, I have to believe it before I can see it, or I have to see it before I can believe it. So when you look at this, you want those believers that want to eventually see it. Those are the disruptors. Those are the ones that have the creativity flow that a brand is looking for. So having this exploration mindset and embracing that in a brand that says nothing's impossible, and they see a vision, they have a dream, they want to bring that reality. That's what drives passion inside of truly great generational brands, is you're going to go inside of these brands, and I've been in the four walls of all of these brands, and when you look at them, the team that's designing is very passionate and loyal around the brand itself and loyal around what the brand and the product stands for. But the brand stands for a great product. It's not vice versa. The product comes out of a brand because of what you built culturally, as well as what you built from an equity standpoint and the loyalty that you built out in the marketplace. So when you look at this exploration, it brings excitement, it brings passion to pursuing a dream and bringing it to reality. So when you look at that passion, the willingness to fail, the willingness to embrace that failure and learn from that failure without being banished inside of the company as a result of the failure. You need to learn from failures, but there's never been a great product in the marketplace that hasn't gone through a failure, and more often than not, multiple failures, and the ultimate failure being the light bulb, I say, with Thomas Edison, where he did it 999 times, and eventually, I think it was 10,000 times was the number of times that he failed with the light bulb. So incredible. Incredible resilience from a brilliant inventor, by the way. So when you look at failing and failing again for the pursuit of what we say reaching the pinnacle of success is disrupting the marketplace with a new process, a new product, or a new service. So those who are willing to take this challenge, and I say not just once, but make that part of their DNA, what they do on a day-to-day basis, is it's not embracing it one day and then not the next day. It confuses the team. It creates frustration and not passion. So you need to make sure that there is that balance there, that balance between creativity and execution in the marketplace. So their core identity through that DNA will succeed. And also knowing that you're going to take market share as a result, and you're going to build more loyalty with your community. And it's especially important with the environment we're in today that everybody's going D2C. Is loyalty, I find, is the number one quotient to successfully building your brand long-term right now, because retailers want loyalty of your customer. The brand wants loyalty of your customer. The team wants loyalty of the brand itself, and to have the DNA of what you stand for be consistent in the marketplace. And that's translated through your voice and through the product that you actually put into the marketplace. So teams and community out, what I say, outside the four walls of your business is as important as those staying loyal inside the four walls of your business. So what I say is with exploration, what the beautiful part of exploration, and I use this beautiful artistry around exploration, is this exploration comes an artistry. What I say around successfully realizing your great idea, it's just a beautiful orchestration of a process that you go through each and every time with your team that's loyal around what you stand for as a brand and as a company, and you're not willing to sacrifice that for a sale or for somebody that says you should do something different. But you know your DNA, and that's why you're there, and that's why you're passionate about what you're doing with that company and brand. What I say is there's these artists. The artist is the one who knows what the painting looks like before a brush is put to canvas. I love that aspect of creators because they can look at a blank canvas and know what they're going to paint. Not only what they're going to paint, but the eventual painting itself. So when you look at this, being able to put brush to canvas before knowing what it's going to look like is the anticipation of the future, what that product is going to look like, and the passion around realizing that vision through the DNA of the brand that you're committed to long term. So be an artist. Understand the beauty behind the product, making your community's life more accessible and less burdensome. The simple sophistication around a great product. Think of what you use on a day-to-day basis. And the beauty behind a great product is its simple sophistication, and Apple has nailed this. On every product, there's a reason we're in their ecosystem. There's a reason, there's beauty behind the product. I don't care if it's the edges of the iPhone, the look and feel of the MacBook Air. All the products that Apple creates are aesthetically beautiful, but the more important thing is they're easy to use. The 1-2-3 principle of Steve Jobs is that if you have to read instructions in order to learn how to use something, it's too hard. So don't make it hard. Make it easy. Think 1-2-3. So to maximize idea flow, you must be committed to exploring, embracing failure, and being an artist. And all are collectively together generating insanely great ideas. I can tell you time in and time out, the brands that I've been with, the brands we work with, they're all brands for a reason, and they're all premium products built around a culture that has a DNA of being the best in their category and crushing the competition. They don't worry about the competition because the competition is worried about them and what they're doing. So we always want to make sure that when we do that, that we understand that process. So what are the areas required to what I call promote creativity? The first I say is free-flowing ideas, and the other word here is key, is pace. The quicker a decision is made, the better the company. However, I will say having a brand committed to providing what I call an environment to create and generate ideas is one that will never run short on innovation. Now, what I mean by that is this free flowing of ideas and keeping creators in the room, not non-creators that don't understand the process that you go through in order to not only come up with a great idea, but able to understand how to commercialize that idea, which is as important. So free-flowing ideas and pace around creators that are coming up with great innovative ideas is number one. Number two, free your mind. Let the process take it what I call its pace. You know, provide some boundaries and ensure that these ideas are processed, commercialized, or blown up to make it great. Meaning you go back to an idea or a product. I go all the way back to Henry Ford when there wasn't a vehicle. And he says, hey, if I asked my customer what they were looking for, they would say a faster horse. So you have to come up with these great ideas. And you have to blow things up that don't work. So that's what I'm saying here with Free Your Mind, is that have it take its pace, provide some boundaries around timing and execution, but ensure that these ideas are processed, commercialized, or blow up a great idea. And blow up a great idea means taking something that doesn't work and making it work. Number three is being a cognitive thinker versus a logical mindset. Logical and cognitive butt heads all the time. So take your time when fleshing out ideas. Understand the implication to the brand in your community. But then find solution through great ideas. You know, you want to make sure that as a cognitive thinker, they're creative. Logical is very black and white. So there's a big distinction between those two. The logical needs to come in and balance that execution piece. The cognitive is the one that brings the great ideas to the table. So have that balance between those two. And number four is leave the door open. What I mean by that is there's many ideas that have been left on the table, never to be commercialized, but should have been. So I leave, allow ideas to enter the creativity process, and don't be too quick to judge. Flush it out before you discard it, and ensure cognitive thinkers are at the table. These are your creative doers. So make sure they have the loudest voice at the table. Number five is only the smart illusion. Creativity is cognitive. And why the logic may not always be the best trade in building an innovative culture. It's just fact. You need to have creativity at the table and keep the logic away from the table until they're needed. You need them when you got an idea you feel will work. Whether an idea is disruptive or innovative is a big piece of that puzzle, but you need the logical thinkers then to come in and address the commercialization opportunity, the addressable market, the complete business planning execution. So having the ability to think of what could be versus what is a big difference. And that's a lot of times the difference you're going to see between cognitive and logical thinking. Number six is implement balance. And a great story that I had heard was when Steve Jobs had taken over at Pixar. He implemented what was called this pluses policy. I don't know if you ever heard of it, but so what he wanted was that every negative that somebody came up with at the table, at the time there were a lot of them. Hey, we can't do this, we can't do that. So Steve said, hey, stop. Every time you do a negative, I want to balance it with a plus. So if you say it can't be done, tell me how it can be done. So this simple policy broke down that gridlock they were seeing at Pixar and was an integral to creating their first blockbuster Toy Story. So implement balance, making sure that, hey, if the culture is not what you want it to be, put proper balance in place and make sure that you stick to it, but it's got to be something that's implemented by the leader. And the seventh and last one is more is less. Brands feel that the ideation process is better served with more people providing more ideas. And quite frankly, the opposite is true. The brands that I've been with and we're working with on Liquid Mind, this is one that we find is the hardest, not only for creative people, but for logical people as well, is logical people will try to cut too much. Creative will try to add too much. So you got to have this balance between these two. So in the best ideation process, less is more. So what you're looking for is the best ideas. And one where the mindset is a common logic is left at the door many times. So when you look at this more is less, make sure that these cognitive thinkers, when we cut back the number of ideas, that the cognitive thinkers first feel as if those that are up on the board in the ranking process are the top three, not the top 25, that they have signed off on that. And then logic comes in to commercialize those ideas. So it's a good balance between cognitive and logical thinkers. So So when you see this overall process of creating ideas, you can see it's a flow, but it's also a balance, you know, between the ideas and the commercialization and the execution. So many leaders agree that innovation and creativity are the most sought after traits, but most do nothing to promote creating a culture where cognitive thinkers can thrive. That's a huge piece of what I see inside of brands and companies is the person at the top, the one that's implementing the vision, may say one thing one day, another thing the next day, and or they're just not a cognitive thinker. So they really need balance between themselves and those inside the company in order to be what we would classify as a disruptive brand, one that's generational and one that will survive long term. So I always say, stay true, stay authentic, be different, be great, and always enjoy your journey. And I appreciate you listening to the Visionary Chronicles podcast today. I wanted to thank you for listening to the Visionary Chronicles podcast. And hopefully you find the information that we put out each week very useful. And what we found through reviews and when we were originally putting together their Visionary podcast was found both personal and professional advice as well as information those listening to the podcast were looking for. So we wanted to be unique in that way, and hopefully you found that to be the case. And appreciate the reviews that you've been sending in, and we would certainly appreciate you signing up for our newsletter as well, which is an expansion upon what you're seeing on or hearing on the Visionary Chronicles podcast. And you can find that at two locations. One is bryansmeltzer.com, BryanSmeltzer.com, or our company site, liquidmindsite.com, LiquidMind, site.com. So we would appreciate any reviews, additional reviews, comments you may have. Sign up for the newsletter, and we look forward to talking with you next week.